On September 3rd, 1783, the American colonies ended its nearly 10-year conflict against Great Britain to become an independent nation where people could live freely without the fear of a tyrannical ruler dictating their lives. They were successful in their revolution, and the United States of America officially became a nation for all the world to behold. However, America was much smaller than it is today, and many at the time hoped to expand its borders by moving westward into an unknown part of the land that would become America. In this podcast, we will be discussing the Corps of Discovery Expedition, why and how it was created, its purpose and goal, the people involved with the expedition, and its results, as well as how it helped shape the United States of today. Before we begin to talk about the expedition itself, let me give you a term to remember by and its importance to this topic: manifest destiny. Simply put, manifest destiny was the belief that Americans in the 19th century were chosen, either by God or by birthright, to expand their territory westward and settle the then unknown lands. It was such a widely held belief that it is considered to be the primary catalyst for the events to come. During his third term as president, Thomas Jefferson met with the leader of France, Napoleon Bonaparte, to negotiate a land deal for the U.S. to acquire the port of New Orleans, which at the time had been controlled by France. Jefferson knew the importance of controlling the port, and at the time, that was all he was hoping to get from meeting with Napoleon. Instead, he was offered much more than he could have ever imagined. See, when Napoleon sent his representatives to negotiate the port deal, Napoleon had trouble securing the territory that had been obtained after the Seven Years' War against Spain, and needed to focus on funding his military back home in France. When Jefferson sent his representatives, Napoleon saw an opportunity to kill two birds with one stone: get rid of land that was becoming too expensive and too difficult to hold on to, and gain enormous funds for his military. With that, Napoleon offered to sell to Jefferson not just the port, but all of the territory, at the time named the Louisiana Territory. To put into perspective exactly how much land this was, the territories included what would become the states of Arkansas, Missouri, Iowa, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Nebraska, as well as parts of Minnesota, North and South Dakota, New Mexico, Texas, Wyoming, Colorado, and of course, Louisiana. So, just think for a moment. Put yourself in Jefferson's place. You are the leader of a country that is young, and your core belief is that that country is destined to become bigger than it currently is. So you send representatives to your allies in hopes of purchasing a small section of land, and they end up offering even more than what you would originally discussed, that will effectively double the size of the land that makes up your country currently. How could you refuse? Despite this, Jefferson was criticized for many for acting too hastily without consulting with members of the government or the American people. Though he defended his decision by saying that he had the constitutional power to make this decision without consultation, yet there were still people who believed that what Jefferson did was wrong and illegal. Whether or not the Louisiana Purchase was just, it did not change the fact that the deal went through, and on July 3rd, 1803, the United States of America doubled in size, effectively making the Louisiana Purchase the greatest deal made in American history. Jefferson had gotten exactly what he and the American people wanted: the chance to expand westward and increase the U.S. in size. There was only one small problem, though. How was he going to fill all the space he had just bought? And what was it like west? Nobody had gone far enough to say. He needed to know the territory was safe enough for people to settle, as well as get a sense about what exactly was out there. With that came the formation of the Corps of Discovery, a group of volunteers whose mission was to explore the territories from the Louisiana Purchase and return to report their findings back to Jefferson. The person to lead this expedition was handpicked by Jefferson himself, a relatively unknown presidential aide named Meriwether Lewis. Meriwether Lewis was born August 18, 1774, to the parents of William and Lucy Lewis in Albemarle, Virginia. He and his mother moved to Georgia after his father died of pneumonia in 1779, where he would spend most of his young life learning about the wilderness through his time as a hunter and as a gatherer. By the time he was 13, he was sent back to Virginia, where he was raised by his uncle Nicholas, who gave him proper education taught by private mentors. He would then go off to graduate from what is now known as the Washington and Wells University, at the time called Liberty Hall. That same year after graduating, Lewis joined the Virginia militia, where he would quickly become a captain. Among the members of his commanding officers at the time was a man named William Clark, who he would become close friends with even after his service. By 1801, Lewis was appointed as an aide to President Jefferson. This was where Lewis gained much of his political exposure, which would help serve him later in his life. By the time of the Louisiana Purchase, Jefferson approached Lewis with the offer to lead a company of volunteers into the then unknown territories and report back on the findings they made. Lewis agreed on one condition, that he allow his friend William Clark to helm the expedition with him. William Clark was born August 1st, 1770, in Caroline, Virginia, to the parents of John and Anne Rogers Clark. While not receiving the advanced education as his soon-to-be friend, Clark was a well-read individual. When the Revolutionary War broke out, Clark's five elder brothers went to fight on behalf of the United States, with the two oldest, Jonathan and George Roger, serving as commanding officers stationed in Kentucky, fighting British-allied American Indians. Clark was too young at the time to serve in the military, being the second youngest of 10 siblings, and remained at home in Virginia with the remainder of his family. After the war, Jonathan and George Roger planned to have their family moved to Kentucky, and in March of 1785, his family was relocated to the Mulberry Hill Estate, just outside of Louisville. Here, Clark would spend the rest of his young life learning how to live off the land from his brother George Roger. In 1789, at just 19 years old, Clark joined the Virginia militia to drive back the Way Indians who, at the time, began raiding Kentucky settlements near the Wabash River. During his time as a military man, Clark made it a habit of keeping a record of the events he had been involved in, a habit which would serve him later in his life. This is where many believe Clark was illiterate, as many of his notes and records contain numerous grammatical mistakes and misspellings. Regardless, he kept recording of his experiences even after his time as a military man. By 1790, just a year after joining the military, Clark was promoted to the rank of captain of the Virginia militia, where he would have come to mentor a young up-and-coming soldier named Meriwether Lewis. The two became fast friends and served side by side with each other until 1796, when Clark was forced to step down from the military due to poor health, despite being only 26 at the time. By 1803, Clark was called back into service to co-lead an expedition with Lewis organized by President Jefferson to discover the unknown lands to the west, recently purchased by Jefferson. Agreeing to partake in the journey, Clark met with Lewis and company, and the Corps of Discovery was formed. Before the journey could commence, Lewis went through multiple crash course training classes in Philadelphia, where he learned how to compile scientific data for any of the discoveries he made on the journey. He also went to Harper's Ferry, Virginia, where he began purchasing supplies for the expedition, such as rifles, potable foods, tools, replacement gear, maintenance equipment, wilderness gear, horses, clothing, items meant to trade with the Indian tribes, and a custom-made keelboat with a collapsible iron frame called the Discovery that would last through most of the expedition. With a budget of just $2,500, Lewis ended up gathering 3,500 pounds worth of material for the voyage and brought it back to Clarksville, Indiana, where he would meet up with Clark. For Clark's part, he was charged with hiring and training volunteers at Camp Dubois, north of St. Louis, Missouri. Clark specifically looked for men who were unmarried, in good physical health, and knew how to hunt and survive in the wilderness. A total of 45 men were recruited. 27 soldiers, a French-Indian interpreter, a contracted boat crew, and Clark's personal slave, York. Finally, after arriving in St. Charles, Missouri, the Corps of Discovery began its voyage into the Louisiana Territories on May 14, 1804, by going upstream on the Missouri River in the Discovery, along with two smaller keelboats. The expeditions traveled daily, and averaging about 15 miles per day, either by land or river, only stopping when they needed to. Heat, insects, and river currents became the normal struggles for the explorers every day and would often result in men getting out of line. To combat this, Lewis and Clark ruled that anyone who forgot their place would be reminded with lashings and/or hard labor as punishment. The first and only casualty of the Corps would ever face was the death of Sergeant Charles Floyd, who died August 20th due to infection. While he would never see the end of the expedition, the remaining 44 members would. It is believed that around 50 American Indian tribes were encountered with the Corps during their journey westward. Lewis and Clark were trained and developed a system when meeting a new tribe. Exchange goods and trinkets with the tribe, and present the chief with a Jefferson Indian Peace Medal, a coin created by the U.S. Mint meant to create unity between the Indian tribes and the United States. They were also under orders to inform the tribes that their land now belonged to the United States and offered to provide them with military protection in exchange for peace. Most of the tribes the Corps came across were open to trade with them, though most other tribes were openly hostile towards them, but very few ever turned violent. By early November, the Corps stopped in modern-day Washburn, North Dakota, to set up camp for the oncoming winter. They chose this location since it was near the Mandan and Minnetaree Indians, who the Corps had gotten on friendly terms with. For the next 4 weeks, they had built the first U.S. fort in the Louisiana Territories, Fort Mandan. They would spend the next 5 months at the fork, restocking on food for hunting and foraging, trading with the tribes, maintenance and repairs on their equipment, and continuing to chart the area of the region. According to Clark's journal, while some of the explorers had got venereal disease from their interactions with the Indians, they were all in relatively good health. At the fort, the company met with a French-Canadian trapper named Toussaint Chaboneau and his Shoshone wife, Sacagawea, or as she is more commonly known, Sacagawea. Both husband and wife were welcome to join the Corps as an interpreter and translator respectively, and on February 11, 1805, Sacagawea, who had been pregnant, gave birth to her son, Jean-Baptiste. Before leaving Fort Mandan, Lewis and Clark sent several members of the Corps back to St. Louis via keelboat loaded with samplings, zoological and botanical, maps, reports, and any letters the explorers wanted to send home. They left April 7, 1805, while the remaining members carried on west through modern-day Montana into the Continental Divide. This proved to be the most difficult part of the journey for the Corps, since up until this point, most of the trip was done on the rivers in their canoes and boats. Now, they were forced to travel on foot through dangerous, unknown wilderness, facing frostbite, hunger, dehydration, and exhaustion. Thankfully, they were able to meet with some Shoshone people before traveling too far across to the divide, and with help from Sacagawea, were able to procure horses and guides to help them through many of the passes. It's worth mentioning that both Lewis and Clark praised Sacagawea for her help in the expedition. Her ability as a tracker and a translator became invaluable to both men, who felt the journey wouldn't have been possible without her. After 11 days on the trail, the Corps was able to leave the Continental Divide behind them without losing a single member and take refuge with the Nez Perce tribe, who fed and sheltered the adventurers. They left the Nez Perce with their horses as a show of thanks and left for the Clearwater River, which would take them into the final stretch of their journey. Finally, in November of 1805, after a year of misery, poor weather, and near-death experiences, the Corps of Discovery finally made it to the Pacific Ocean. With the first half of their mission completed, the other half being their return home, they had to wait for winter to pass before heading out again. Thus began construction of Fort Clatstop, near present-day Astoria, Oregon. Just like at the Continental Divide, the Corps suffered through harsh weather and starvation. Supplies was running low, and nearly every member was sick with a stomach illness or another. However, they survived, and on March 23, 1806, gathered whatever supplies they had and left for home. After returning to the Nez Perce tribe to do trading, the group waited until June for the snow and ice to melt completely before once again crossing the Continental Divide. Here, Lewis and Clark decided they would each split the group into two teams, hoping to discover a shortcut through the mountains. Lewis would lead his group up north towards the Great Falls of the Missouri River, while Clark's group would head south along the Yellowstone River with Sacagawea and her family. The two planned to rendezvous where the two rivers met in North Dakota, and with that, they set off. While on the trail, Clark took the time to carve his name and date into what would become Pompey's Pillar, after the nickname given to Sacagawea's son, Pompey. After running into a minor confrontation with a group of Blackfoot Indian warriors, both groups were reunited on August 12th, where they gave their farewells to Sacagawea and her family, who returned home to their Mandan village. Afterwards, they continued down the Missouri River, and on September 23rd, returned home to St. Louis, officially completing their mission. Though they did not discover anything Jefferson had hoped to find in the West, the mission was considered successful, against all odds, with just one casualty. They traveled over 8,000 miles down and back, produced the first accurate maps and charts detailing the lands of the Louisiana Territories and beyond, identified about 120 new animal species and about 200 new botanical samples, and created peaceful relationships with 12 different American Indian tribes. Lewis and Clark were rewarded by Jefferson for their leadership and undying determination with 1,600 acres of land. Lewis became governor of the Louisiana Territory, and Clark became its brigadier general. Clark's reputation would serve him well for the rest of his life, and, after her death in 1809, would become guardian to Sacagawea's children. Lewis, however, would suffer after the expedition. In his early life, Lewis suffered from severe depression and would drink heavily, hoping to clear his mind. Instead, it just got him into more trouble, getting him into bar fights and unwanted run-ins with the law. Only under Clark and Jefferson's mentorship was he able to turn his life around into a better direction. After returning home, he sank back into his depression and alcoholism, and on October 11th, 1809, was found dead in his home with two self-inflicted gunshot wounds. Even though he met a tragic end, Meriwether Lewis and his partner William Clark are helmed as among the greatest explorers in American history. They, along with Sacagawea and the members of the Corps of Discovery, are the reason countless explorers and pioneers were inspired to move westward and settle in the West, fulfilling the idea of manifest destiny and shaping this country into the America of today.